There is changeableness according to their what? Substantial being. Because the matter of them is able to be with the lack of the substantial form of them. So my matter could lose the substantial form it has right now, my soul, and become the matter of a lion or something, right? If they feed me to the lions or whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay. And also as regards accidental being, right? If the subject is compatible in itself with the what? Lack of the accident. Just as this subject man is compatible in itself with what? Non-white, right? And therefore it can change from white to what? Non-white, huh? My hair is changing from brown to gray or something, okay? But if it would be such an accident that follows upon the essential principles of the subject, then the privation or lack, to use the English word, of that accident cannot stand with the subject. Whence the subject is not able to be changed according to the accident, just as snow cannot become black. I've never seen our snow in the winter, but... Okay. But in the celestial bodies, matter is not what? Compatible with the lack of form, because they thought, Aristotle and Thomas followed him, that the form perfected the whole what? Ability of matter. So it was not the ability for any other form, right? Okay. But we don't necessarily have to follow them in this particular position, right? And therefore, he thought that they are not changeable according to the substantial being, but according to their local being, their being here or there in place. Because the subject is compatible with the lack of this place or that place. Huh? They can lose this place and go to another place, like the sun goes from one place to another. But now the bodiless substances, the incorporeal or bodiless substances, because they are what? Subsisting forms, I don't know what the matter, which nevertheless have themselves to their being as potency to act, right? They do not compatible with them, the privations act. Because to be follows upon form, and nothing is corrupted except through the fact that it loses its what? Form. Whence in such a one, the form is not in potency to what? Non-being. Okay. Talking about what it has in itself, huh? Mm-hmm. Okay. And therefore these substances are unchangeable and variable according to their being, right? And this is what Dionysius says in the fourth chapter of the Divine Names. He's quoting Dionysius and not Augustine. Because someone has some kind of spiritual matter, you know, for the angels, and mm-hmm. Dionysius is more clear than that. The intellectual, the created intellectual substances, the angels, right? Munde, they're clean of, huh? Free of generation and from all variation, as being bodiless and immaterial substances. But nevertheless, there remains in them a twofold mutability, right? One according as their inability to the what? End. Huh? And thus there is in them mutability according to choice from good to what? Bad, as Damascene, St. John Damascene says. Another according to place, right? Insofar as by their what? Limited power, they are able to what? Attain or to act upon certain places which before they did not attain to, huh? Which cannot be said of God, who by his infinity fills all places, as has been said before.
So this use of place here for the incorporeal substances, you say it's like metaphorical, or just...
Well, no. It means by they can apply their power only to some place. They can't apply their power to every place, right?
So what would you call that use of place?
Well, it's different from being contained in place, right? Mm-hmm. Okay? It means that, you know, it's a little bit like the way God is said to be everywhere, right? except they're not everywhere, because their power is not infinite, right? So they are said to be where they're acting, right? Huh?
Mm.
Okay, but that doesn't mean that they're contained in that place, right?
Yeah.
You see, but there's no connection there between them and a place, huh?
So like the place is sort of like the object instead of
The object of the power, yeah.
Instead of the subject.
Yeah, but in a sense, you could say, you know. When you act upon something, if I tell you a sad story, I touched your heart, right? Huh?
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that I can't connect your heart, but my causality was there, right? So it seems in a different sense, huh? The contact of power rather than contact of my surfaces, right? By the water in here, right? The, the outer surface of the water and the inner surface of the cup are... Yeah. But that's a different sense of... And saying that I touch you with my power, right? When you look at the treatise of the angels, we're going to get to the angels down here. You'll be talking about that fairly early in the treatise on the angels, huh? Mm-hmm. And so it's a little way of letting us into these things, huh? De motu localio angelorum, question 53, huh? Mm-hmm. Okay. But question 52, de comparatione angelorum ad loca. Huh? And utrum angelus sit in loco, right? That's the first article. And just look at that for a second to your question here.
52?
Yeah, 52, article 1. And just the body of the article. I answer, it should be said that it belongs to the angel to be in place. But equivoce, right?
Oh, that's a good word, yeah.
Yeah. The angel is said to be in place, and a body is said to be in place, right?
Mm.
A body is in place through this, that there is applied to the place according to the context of its dimensive, what, quantity, right? Mm. A dimensive quantity is the name for continuous quantity, right? And you're thinking of the surface of the water here, right? The outer surface of the water, and that's in contact with the inner surface of the place, right? That's not the way the angels are there. So, mm-hmm. So it's equivoce, huh?
Where is that again?
Question 52, article 1, yeah. Which, as he says, is not in the angels, but there is in them the quantity of what?
Power.
Power, yeah, virtual quantity. Mm-hmm. Through the application, therefore, of the angelic power to some place, in any way, the angel is said to be in a bodily place, right? But you're obviously using the word in an equivocal sense, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And according to this, it is clear that it's not necessary to say that the angel is, what, commensurate there locally, that he's measured with the place, right? Mm-hmm. Or that it has a location in the continuous, huh? But these things belong to the located body, huh? Of course, another way in which Christ is here or there, right? Mm-hmm. In the Eucharist, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You see? But he's there, not by his own, what, dimensions, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But by the dimensions of the bread whose substance he has replaced.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he's connected with that place, right? But mm-hmm. That's a very unusual way, right? Mm-hmm. But it's different than this, and it's different than, obviously, the way you and I are in place, not with our bodies.
What about the souls in heaven now?
They're not in place, and they might be able to have some application to you know, that gives them some power to act upon things. But it'd be like the angels more if they're in place. It'd be equivocally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So then, sometimes it comes up. They talk about heaven or purgatory. Is it a place? Is it a state?
Play
with those terms.
Yeah. So it's very hard for us to understand because we never think without images, right?
Right.
And therefore, it's a common opinion of the Greeks that whatever is must be somewhere. You can contain it in a place like a body is, right? Mm-hmm. And if it isn't somewhere, it doesn't exist, huh? But you're being, in a sense, deceived by your imagination. But it's very hard for people to rise above the imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the articles there in the De Trinitate of Boethius there, that Thomas has, you know,